Definitely, what a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. And there is no one like him. Our scripture reading this morning comes from 2 Kings chapter 4, and we're going to be taking a look at verses 1 through 7. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elijah, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my boys as his slaves." Elijah replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a small jar of olive oil." Elijah said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons, and pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it on the side." She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There is not one jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks.
You know, as I prepared this message, I had some sermon notes, and I had a lot of things written down, and the Lord just told me, "You're not going to use that today." Some of what I had planned is going to be in there, and there's obviously going to be some other parts too. What a powerful, powerful passage that is. You know, if you could think about what you would like to be known for, what would it be? If there was just one thing, what would you desire? Would it be your love? Would it be your kindness? Your generosity? Would it be your faithfulness? Your obedience? Or something else? I ask you because here we have a woman who we know very little about. Her name's not even given. And yet in these seven verses, they're so powerful that thousands of years later, we're reflecting on her life. Why? Because of her faith. Because we see the love that she has for her children, but more importantly, we see the faith that she has in God. Now, some scholars have debated that they believe that this is the widow of Obadiah. And Obadiah was a priest in training, was kind of a prophet in training, rather. And he is the one that when Jezebel came around and was killing all the prophets, he used all his money to hide them. And then once he had used it all up, he went to borrow more, so he could keep hiding them. Now that sounds like a good man of God, doesn't it? That sounds like somebody who loved the Lord. And yet now his wife is in this difficult, difficult position. Because he is gone. She is there. And on top of mourning his death, she's dealing with his debts. A struggle reality. And yet, what is she commended for? Her beautiful faith. Her willingness against all odds to be a living illustration for her children of what walking by faith looks like. I asked you a second ago, what would you like to be known for? I can't think of a better thing for any believer to be known for than to have taught their children how to walk by faith and what that actually looks like in your life. That's what she did for her sons. As they poured that oil, she taught them about faith. She taught them about love. She taught them about God. What a blessing on this Mother's Day that we look at a woman who, even in what would be considered the darkest moment of her life up to this point, puts her faith on display for everyone to see. That's powerful. I think about, our moms teach us a lot of lessons, right? I mean, I can remember one of the first lessons my mother taught me, my dad taught me too, but my mother said, don't sit too close to the television or you're going to ruin your eyesight. Anybody ever heard that one? Right? Don't eat the cookie before dinner. You're going to ruin your appetite. Right? We've all got those lessons. I could go on and on and on. Her lesson was this: don't ever doubt God, because He will always come through. Don't ever doubt God, because He will always, always come through. I want to share with you this morning a few things that we can take away from this passage. The first one is this: that no matter how faithful you are, you're not free from life's hardships. Isn't that something we see? I mean, I can't think of a more faithful family. Using everything they have to keep people of God safe. And if you know the story of Jezebel, she was killing prophets left and right. Why? Because they rebuked her. And so what does Obadiah do? He hides them. But in doing so, now his family's at risk upon his death. The custom of their day is if you had a debt you couldn't pay, your children became slaves. And you yourself would become a slave. That is what was staring her in the face. How could that happen to such faithful people? I'll tell you how. I'll tell you why. In this instance, it's so that we could learn how faithful God is. And she could experience this miracle. God is always working, even in our darkest moments. And He reveals Himself in powerful ways. Sometimes it's a miracle. It's not always, but this time it is. See, we have a tendency when things are going bad in our life, we want to blame somebody. And I'll just tell you what I do. I tend to blame myself. I tend to wonder, where did I go wrong? What does God do? How could my life be such a mess if I'm doing what God wants me to do? So then my assumption, Satan tries to spin this lie into my heart and into my mind. It's your fault. You thought you were walking in God's will, but actually you were way over there. That's a lie the enemy tries to tell us. But notice what we see here. It's not true. See, the enemy's goal is to make you and I feel like we're unworthy of God's help. Praise the Lord for this faithful mother. That wasn't what was on her heart. In fact, she went to the prophet. He followed Elijah, and his name is Elisha. It's easy to get the two confused, easy to mispronounce them too, because they're so close. She went to him and said, "My husband loved the Lord. Will you help me?" And this man of God says, I'll see what I can do. He seems very timid. What do you have at your house? And what does she say? I've got this little jar. This little jar of oil, probably used for anointing. Now, I'll tell you, that's not a lot to work with, is it? But we learn a very powerful lesson from that. When God works miracles in people's lives, He often starts with what is already there. When God works a miracle in somebody's life, He often starts with what is already there. I don't know if you've ever done this, but how many of us have ever said, well, when I get in a better position, then I can obey God like I want to. When I get in a better position, whether it's financially, whether it's in my workload, or whether it's in my family situation, when I get in a better position, then I can be the kind of man or the kind of woman that I long to be. Here we have a woman in her worst possible position, and her faith and her love and her obedience come shining through. And she believed that God would work with what was already there. You see, when we're focused on what isn't there, we have a tendency to do two things. We tend to undervalue what is present, which causes us to look past the day-to-day, to take it for granted, to be looking so far into the future that we miss out on opportunities right here and now. And then we overvalue what the future is going to look like. We overvalue future blessings. And we think that, yeah, a year from now, that's what I'm waiting for. 2 years from now, when God places me here, when God, I'm in a job I don't like, I want God to move me. My work situation's hard, I want it to change. I'll be better then. God says, I can bless you right now. In her darkest moments, she shows us that when God's working miracles, He often begins with what's already there. We also see that the type of miracle He works, the way in which He works in your life, is proportional to your faith. Notice what the prophet said to her. We don't know her name. I wish we did. He says, go and collect jars, empty jars from your neighbors. And don't stop at just a few. Keep going. Keep collecting. And what do we find happens? There is as the oil keeps flowing as long as there is a jar to put it in. What a powerful illustration is that. God's blessings keep flowing as long as we have the faith to receive them. As long as we're humble enough to receive them. As long as we're like those jars and have open hearts ready to receive them. It wouldn't have worked with filled jars. There wouldn't have been anywhere to place the oil. What would have happened if she only grabbed about 4 or 5? The blessing would have been smaller and smaller. And yet, what are we told? She had enough to pay off her debt and to take care of her family. How amazing is that? Her blessing was proportional to her faith. The oil kept coming as long as she kept believing, as long as she kept bringing, as long as she kept submitting and obeying and trusting. When life gets hard, that is one of the hardest things to believe. It's one of the hardest things to do. And here we have this amazing woman. And she trusted. I mean, none of that makes any sense. If I told somebody I have a little jar of oil and he told me, well, go get a bunch more empty jars, that doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? It's like when Jesus turned the water into wine. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense in the natural world. Or when they're ready to feed the 5,000. And he says, what do we have? Well, we've got a few loaves and some fish. That doesn't make any sense. And yet God took that little and made much. Faith. Faith is one of the first things that gets tested when times get tough. How's your faith being tested today? Where's your faith at today? Is it growing? Is it shrinking? Are you filled with hope? Are you filled with despair? God's blessing is proportional to the measure of faith that we have. This woman, her obedience went all the way to the end. Imagine hitting the jackpot. That's essentially what she did. I mean, if I saw that happen, I'd say, go get some more jars. I'd want them to keep coming. It's like when you hit the, I've never been to Vegas or anywhere else, but if you pulled the slot machine and the money just keeps falling out, give me another bucket. You just want to keep having it. As long as it keeps coming out, you want to keep receiving it. And yet she had just enough for her debts and providing for her family. And that's how she used them. That's how she used them. She didn't try and use them in any kind of manipulative way. She didn't try and double them or triple them. No, she said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this blessing. I'm going to use it how you want me to use it. And she obeyed. And that's one of the things about God's grace and his provision. Our obedience has to follow all the way to the end. We can't waver. You know, in James we're told, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask God, and he will give it to you liberally without finding fault. We love that verse. I love that verse. But it keeps going. It says, the one who asks should not doubt. Because a person who does that is double-minded, and they're like a boat in the ocean that gets tossed back and forth by the waves. Now, what does all that mean? After all, it's hard not to have even a little inkling of doubt, right? Didn't one of the people who got healing say, Lord, help my unbelief? What he's talking about is when you're asking for God's grace, when you're asking for his provision, when you're asking for his support, you have to say ahead of time. You have to be willing to ahead of time to obey it all the way to the end. To say, whatever you want to reveal, that's what I'm going to do. That's what she did. And the oil kept coming and coming and coming until she had everything that she needed. That she needed. And so my question for you on this Mother's Day, we've celebrated mothers, we've honored mothers. My question is, what do you want to be known for? What are you teaching your children? What do you hope that they take away from you? Yes, we need those bits of wisdom about not ruining our supper, not ruining our vision. And the list goes on and on. Waiting 30 minutes after you've eaten something before you swim or you might get a cramp. That's probably not from moms, but it could have been. But we also need our mothers to be our living witnesses of what faith looks like. Of what trust looks like, of what hope looks like. One of the things I heard a long time ago was behind every man, there's a strong woman supporting them. Whether it's a wife, a mother, a friend, there's somebody nurturing them, guiding them. I've experienced that. My mother's taught me about faith, taught me about life. Missy teaches me about faith and about life. We try and model it for our kids. The question is, are you ready to have that kind of living faith? To see God operate in that same kind of way, to bring that same kind of miracle that is much needed in your life? Do you believe? Will you obey? And will you trust? I want to be like her. I want to be somebody who, when it looks like there's no way, just believes that God's going to provide a way. Amen? Don't we all want to be like that? Let's have faith. Your life might not look good right now. You might have discouraging things going on. Let's have faith. The fact is, in the world, there are less Christians today than there were yesterday. You know what? Let's have faith. That just means there's more people for us to share Jesus with. Let's have faith, hope, trust. Let's be like this unnamed widow who teaches us all. We have a Savior who died for us, who shed His blood so that we might have life and have it abundantly. Let's follow Him. Let's trust Him. And let's live the kind of life that He's called us to. Let us pray. Almighty God, it is easy for us when life gets hard to be a little wayward. And even when we long to be filled with faith, we find ourselves doubting. Lord, grant us freedom from that. Give us courage in the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. That there is nothing that we face that our Savior hasn't already defeated. Help us to trust You today. Help us to follow You and help us declare ahead of time, even before we know what You're going to do, that we will obey. Because You are worth obeying. You are worth following. Thank You in advance for what You're going to do. Thank You in advance for this unnamed widow who reminds us of what having a living faith really looks like. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As Michael comes forward to lead us in our closing hymn, I want to invite you. If God is stirring anything in your heart this morning, it might be related to what I preached about. It might be related to the song that was sang earlier. Or it might not have to do with anything that's been said or discussed or prayed over. Respond as the Holy Spirit leads you. Maybe you're hearing you've got difficulty. You've got uncertainty. And you need that kind of miracle. You need God to come in and to get involved in Christ Jesus. Maybe you're here and it's not so much that you need a miracle, but you really feel convicted about what you want to be known for. And you want to have that living faith. You want to have a faith that people can point to and say, look at the way they follow Jesus. I want to be able to do that. Come talk to the Lord about it. There's no situation too big that He can't come in and minister to you in it. Come as you feel led.